Mark chapter 4, as we start in Mark chapter 4, the Lord draws a big crowd. He does the parable of the sower. He does the parable of the sower. He gets in the boat because everybody crowds around when the Lord Jesus Christ was in an area. Because they knew who he was, but yet they were just still kind of wondering exactly what was going on with this guy. So he gets out in the boat because of the multitude, and he goes out in the sea, and he tells the parable of the sower, and he tells some other ones, the parable of the candle, and the mustard seed, and all that. And you get to the end of the chapter, in verse 35, and the same day when evening was coming, he's saying unto them, let us go over unto the other side. So he's had a long day of preaching, right? You know, he's been out there, he's been telling them all day, and he said, hey, come on, let's go to the other side of the water here. And I got thinking about that. And that's basically what a missionary does. He gives his all during the day, and then he goes to whoever. You know, we work in the ministry, pastor, assistant, everybody that's a born-again Christian, we work in the ministry, and we think on these things, and we say, well, I'm just wore out. But you look at what the Lord does, and they had sent the people away, the multitudes away, and it says they took him even as he was into the ship. He was probably wore out. Because he was God manifest in the flesh. For the flesh, every once in a while, the Lord would show his humanity. So he is not prepared to go over the water. He didn't take a coat. You know, as you go out over the Sea of Galilee, it probably was cold. But he went as he was. Just as we are. Just a quick application. Just as we are, God wants to use us wherever we are. Whether it is to send us clear across the sea, whether it's out of the local church, whether it's giving the faith promised missions, God wants to use us as we are. He wants us to put our faith and trust in His promises alone. Right? Because we don't like to do that. I got a message I normally preach out of Psalm 37. And in Psalm 37, the Lord, under the inspiration of God, the David says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. He says that three times. Fret not. Don't worry. Don't worry if the Holy Spirit of God is telling you that I want you to give this much to faith promise missions. God promises that He'll supply our needs. Not always our wants, but He'll supply our needs. If God says, I want you to give this amount, don't be afraid. Trust in the Lord. Trust God's promises of supply and provision. And even the disciples, they got to worrying and to doubting. Go into this, and there arose a great storm of the wind. You know what? There's a lot of wind going around this country right now that Christianity's dead, that the Bible doesn't matter, and that's all it is. It's just a bunch of smoke that people are blowing out of their mouths. You know, it's not true. It is not true. But it's going to come, and the waves beat into the ship that it was now full. When we think that we are at our end, that there is no hope, there is nothing that's ever going to happen, that's right where God wants us. Because you look at what the disciples had to do at this time. And he was in the hinder part. He was asleep on a pillow. And we think, well, God, where are you in all this? I don't see how this is going to work out. I think we're just going to give up. They woke him up, you know, and that's when God will go, hey, why don't you call on me for a change? Instead of trying to get this figured out yourself. Can you imagine them? They're just rowing their little hearts out, trying to get, and they probably had somebody bailing, you know, with their hands trying to bail the water out. And it's not coming up through the ship. It's coming over the sides. It's a bad storm. And they're probably just like when we get worried. We say, well, God, our finances are in the tank. I don't know how we're going to give to anything. I don't know how we're going to tithe to our church. Like you said, missions isn't tithe. Missions is beyond that, you know. You're going to be bailing out. I don't know how this is going to work, God. They woke him up. And that's when we can go to God. Just like they did. They had him in the boat. He wasn't going to sink. The boat wasn't going down with God in the boat. I mean, come on. Let's trust him a little bit. And we were talking. I came to that last night, and I've read that passage over and over and over and over. And it finally came to me last night. If Christ ain't in it, we're sunk. Just the most simple application of that as we could come to. If Christ isn't in the church, it's sunk. If Christ isn't in our ministry, we're sunk. If Christ isn't in your finances, you're sunk. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. If we're not having faith in Christ's Word, we're sunk. We're sunk. How are we going to believe anything? But he arose. He got up. You know, when we really get down, Christ is going to He's going to come up out of that. When we seek Him as we really should, in love and adoration and praise and worship, He's going to show up. And He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." So what was He showing them right there? There's three places in the Psalms where He's showing them exactly who He is. Psalm 65:7. I'll flip through them here real quick. I'll go a little bit before that. Verse 4, "By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation." And then in verse 7, it says, "Which stilleth the noise of the sea, the noise of the waves, the tumult of the people." So the Lord wants to do all that right there. He calmed the winds, He calmed the sea, and He's trying to calm the disciples. He's saying, "Hey, I'm God. I'm just showing you all the wonderful things that I can do." Can you imagine when those storms pop up in our lives and we get all worried about it? You go to the Lord and you just go, wow. He'll give you that peace that you go, "I don't understand even why I have this peace." But that's what He did for the disciples right there. The storm's coming up. It's coming over. The boat is going to sink. And they're probably pretty worried about that. They're fishermen, but I imagine they're probably not. They're all tired from the whole day. And they said, "Man, we go down, we're done. We're out in the middle of this thing. The storm's raging. The waves are coming up. We're going to drown. We're going to die." And we don't really have that hope. And they don't, because you look at verse 41, "And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey?" He just showed them all the stuff. Since the time He came on the scene, the disciples are with Him. They showed Him all these things, and still they doubted. Just like the average Christian. We always put in, "Well, God, I just don't get it. I don't see it. I don't even trust You in it." Because we always try to fix things ourselves. But the Lord's saying, just follow Me. Just let Me show you what I can do. And He did. And then to take it even farther, we go into chapter 5. And they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when He was come out of the ship, immediately there met Him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not without chains. So he's out by himself. Everybody had given up on this guy. Nobody wanted to spend any time with him. He's probably a pretty dangerous fella. Kind of like the mission field. I'll try to make an application to challenge you. It's like the mission field. It's like going to your neighbor that you don't know that well, or your neighbor that's all worldly, you know, that has the parties late at night. Look, Jesus took His disciples through the biggest storm that could possibly, I would imagine, that could possibly come up on that sea, just to show them the importance of one soul. One man. He took them through all that. And that's the Christian life, brothers and sisters. That's the Christian life. The Lord wants us to take us through all the storms of this life. Storm of cancer, the storm of, you know, whatever yours is, to get you to that one soul that needs Jesus Christ. And you can reach them with what God's done in your life to bring them to Him. That's the challenge. And if you can't go, it's to give. To fund it. That's what God's called the church to do. But it's kind of funny. Not funny, ha ha. But as you look in this, that man, that demon-possessed man, knew exactly who Jesus was. Because he went to Him. You can see the difference. There's two different angles of this. He ran to Him, but then for help, but the demons inside said, "Well, what hath thou to do with us, Jesus, thou Son of David?" You know, they saw Him for who He really was. They saw Him as the Son of God. The maniac, he just knew where the help was. He needed peace. And that's lost folks. They know they need something. That's the Dutch people. They know they need something. They know that Jesus Christ can heal them, but they're looking everywhere else. Just like a drunk will go back to the alcohol to blind, to numb the conscience that's speaking to them. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. That's what's inside of every man. Just the knowledge that there is a God and that we need Him. But we try to numb it and blind it with everything else. And that's what missionaries are to do. They're to go and tell them what they need, and it's the Lord, through the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they can be saved and have a peace. But he did all that just to show his disciples, to train his disciples, to train missionaries, to train just the average Christian worker. And we are average Christian workers. It's just everybody else says missionaries are really something. We're nothing. We're just sinners saved by grace. But he's training them that you can trust me no matter what storm comes up, no matter what's going on, no matter what happens. Trust me. I will use you to win that soul. We have to be obedient to it. We have to do what he tells us to do. They doubted. We doubt. Every now and again, the doubt, maybe it's even beyond every now and again, there's a lot of times that we doubt. That's what we do. But he's always there when we need him, when we'll be right with him. And that's the call to us. We need to be right with the Lord. We need to be obedient to what he tells us.